Okay, I know better than to ad lib, but Carl said something about having trouble letting go of whatever you burned up in the burning bowl. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. It seems like what I've tried to burn up has just been in my face. And I keep having to remember that I let that go. I turned that up. I burned that up. I'm not the only one, right? Good. But at the same time, I've been feeling a shift toward better. Do you feel that too? And I don't know if it's because I did the burning bowl or because the holidays are over or because December 21st is past or because I'm eating vegan or what, you know, I'm just clearer or whatever it is. Or maybe we're just optimists, you think? Okay, just checking. So, man walks into a bank. Okay, it's actually not a joke, it's a thought experiment. You walk into a bank, and it's a busy day, and it's a big bank, so there are 40 or 50 other people in there. Behind you, bank robber comes in with a gun, and he robs the bank, and in the course of the robbery, he fires one shot. You're the one who's shot. Shot in the arm, taken to the hospital, you're treated and released, you go home in a sling. And so the next day, you're up and around, and you're recounting this story to your friends and your coworkers. How do you describe that experience? Were you unlucky that it happened, or were you lucky? It's you could argue either way. Unlucky. Of all the people in that bank, you're the one who was shot. It hurts. Your arm's out of commission. You got to pay the doctor. Or lucky. It could have been so much worse. You could have been killed or badly wounded. Other people might have been shot. There were children in that bank lobby. You're really lucky it was just this. So it's a thought experiment about optimism and pessimism. What does it have to do with prayer? Today's topic. Well, if you consider yourself unlucky, you probably pray more often for help. That was last week's topic, prayers for help. If you consider yourself lucky in life, you probably pray more often giving thanks. And that's today. That's the thing today. Our prayers for help or our prayers for thanks depend largely on how we see the world. What are you noticing and how do you interpret it? And you get to choose. So my takeoff point for this series on prayer is the little book by Anne Lamott called Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers. I think this is our last copy, so if you want it, you may have to get it from me. I'll try to remember to put it back in the bookstore. And today we're talking about thanks. We talked a lot about gratitude over Thanksgiving and Christmas. The prayers of thanks I have in mind today are a little different. Well, not entirely. When good things happen, it's easy to give thanks. You write it in your gratitude journal. Even the little things. Thanks that the kids went to bed without too much fuss. Thanks for enough money to pay all the bills. Who or what are we thanking? Where does our good come from? I'm just not going to wrestle with that today. It's God. It's the source of all things. It's the stream of well-being in the universe. Human beings have always felt a need to communicate with a presence that they couldn't see, either asking for help or saying thanks. We just seem to fall naturally into conversation with the divine, whatever we call it, and however we structure our religions around it. I often end up giving thanks for timing, people and ideas that show up at just the right time, or money that shows up. And I've shared with you the prayer for unexpected income. A lot of us say thanks with relief because things are not as bad as we feared or as bad as they could have been. Thanks for the check that came in the mail. Now we can eat the rest of the month. Thanks for the medical test that came back negative. Thanks that the layoffs passed me by this time. But thanks that I only got shot in the arm? So, of course, you know prayer and gratitude are ancient spiritual teachings. Some of the books we have in the New Testament are actually letters that were written by the Apostle Paul to churches, new little Christian churches. Paul never met Jesus. Paul was a mean old rabbi who hated and persecuted Christians until he had some sort of mystical experience and he spent the rest of his life on fire for the Lord. So because he was writing to churches, He wrote a lot about human behavior. They had conflict then, just as churches do today. And he gave a lot of advice. Some of the most beautiful writing in the Bible is Paul's advice to congregations. Love is patient, love is kind. That's Paul writing to the people in Corinth, telling them to cut each other some slack. In his letter to the church in Thessalonica is the time he said, pray without ceasing. The whole thing is rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every evil. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things. But then immediately he says, be careful what you focus on. Hold fast to what is good. Paul's also the one who said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. He was writing about consciousness without calling it that. He was the Norman Vincent Peale of positive thinking 2,000 years ago, which is funny because Paul was also such a martyr and a complainer. But he at least taught the right things, you know, and he connected prayers of thanks to thoughts held in mind. What are you noticing? Where is your focus? We pray without ceasing because we can't help it. Our thoughts are prayers. But he said, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it's easy to turn this into happy, clappy theology. It's all God and it's all good. Well, nah, not everything is happy and good. But that's the spiritual challenge, to give thanks in all circumstances. It forces us to look harder. And what I love about Anne Lamott is that she doesn't pull any punches about how painful life can be. She looks harder so she can say thanks. This is a passage from the book. Domestic pain can be searing, and it's usually what does us in. It is almost indigestible. Death, divorce, old age, drugs, brain damaged children, violence, senility, unfaithfulness. Good luck with figuring it out. It unfolds and you experience it, and it is so horrible and endless that you could almost give up a dozen times. But grace can be the experience of a second wind, when even though what you want is clarity and resolution, what you get is stamina and poignancy and the strength to hang on. So just notice, if you were able to hang on today, thanks. Maybe you're going through a hard time or you've just come out of one, and you notice the people who've been with you, the family that stuck by you. Maybe it was a medical team or church friends or the group that helped you get sober or the people who supported your dream and vision for your life. Anne Lamott calls them her pit crew. I have called them my realm of support. I like pit crew. I picture them descending, changing the tires, filling the oil. They're gone again. So thanks for them. Some of life's situations are a real mess to the point of hopelessness, but even while they're happening, and certainly afterwards, you may realize you grew from it. You're better, you're a stronger, wiser person because of it. So thanks for that too. And before you get huffy about Pollyanna, pretending there's good in every situation, did you know there is something called post-traumatic growth? It's an actual psychological phenomenon. It has been tested and studied. When fighters go to war, they're usually told or probably assume they'll either come home normal or they'll have some post-traumatic stress syndrome. Two possibilities. Turns out, there's a third option. They might experience post-traumatic growth. Some people after trauma report greater strength and confidence, greater appreciation for their relationships, even deeper intimacy. One of the studies was done on people who were involved in the bombing of the train in Madrid in 2004. Remember that? A number of them said they grew through that experience. So do a majority of women diagnosed with breast cancer. They show an increase in spirituality, compassion for others. They're more open. They even say they have greater life satisfaction overall. We know some of those people. We've been some of those people. I mean, think how many people you know who changed something about their lives after 9/11, even if they were not personally involved, because their point of view shifted. How many people do we know who've changed something because of a heart attack or cancer and said later it was the best thing that ever happened to them? They wouldn't wish it on anyone else, but they wouldn't trade what they got from it. They're not Pollyanna. They really did end up in a better place. I am so glad I stumbled across the idea of post-traumatic growth, because that's what a lot of us try to do, to milk a bad situation for all of the blessings and learning we can get from it. And now we know it's not only possible, it's common and it has a name. Thanks. Of course, hard times did not start with us. The Bible addresses how to hold on. The Old Testament prophets talked about it a lot. For, you know, prophets, well, you may not know. First, the prophets would warn people, you're on the wrong path. If you continue on this path, there will be hell to pay. And then when hell came, the prophets were still there. And during their hell, they assured the people God was right there and God would restore their fortunes. So prophets were not just doomsayers. What they were talking about is what we might call today the law of divine compensation. Basically, it means it'll all be okay in the end. And you know the rest. If it's not okay, it's not the end. The prophet Joel claimed to be speaking for God to people who were experiencing terrible famine. There was drought and there had been armies of locusts. And Joel uttered one of the most beautiful promises in the Bible. God says, I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. It's going to be okay. So that's the other prayer of thanks. Thanks in advance, along with simple gratitude and prayers of relief. Thanks in advance. Jesus said, pray believing. Paul said, give thanks in all things. Know that it's going to be okay. So thanks in advance. The prophet Jeremiah, too, made promises about the law of divine compensation. He was speaking to Jews in exile. They'd been overrun by the Assyrians. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, which was devastating for the Jews. And God promised through Jeremiah, over and over, that he would restore their fortunes. This is God speaking. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. I will let you find me. You know, the Jews always believed there was a price to pay for being the chosen people. They suffered and they remembered every slight. And those stories became part of their history and their bond as a tribe and a nation. Still are. But the Jews drink to life, l'chaim. They say next year in Jerusalem. It's not so much an emphasis on heaven or an afterlife. They're engaged with this human experience, good and bad, living full out and affirming things will get better. God says, I will let you find me. So, thanks. You know, I'm tempted to say that whatever happens is good. Maybe it's part of a process moving toward good, or at least it's an opportunity for growth, for post-traumatic growth. Believing in the good helps me give thanks for what is and give thanks in advance. It helps me notice that things may not be as bad as I feared or not as bad as they used to be. Something just doesn't hook me the way it used to. Or I seem to have forgiven someone. Or I just feel better today Things are turning out okay. My fortunes are being restored. We have psychological studies now that prove our dread is usually worse than the event. They've done this in universities, so they tested themselves. The professors who didn't get tenure, turned out it didn't ruin their lives. They could be happy again. The college students who feared breaking up because they would be brokenhearted, they recovered faster than they thought. And this is just biology. Remember how we evolved. We're the descendants of the survivors, the ones who stayed alive by their strength and their wits and who adapted to whatever came up. They got over it and moved on and lived to hunt and reproduce another day. We're pretty resilient. We come from the strong ones. So where will you focus your attention? That story about getting shot in the arm? Turns out the human brain looks at events and makes up alternatives. We gauge our lives by what else might have happened. Some people focus on what could have been better. I wish I hadn't gone to the bank that day. We should have stricter gun control. I didn't deserve to be shot. And others focus on what could be worse. Well, at least my injury was minor and no one else was hurt. You hear how the brain is considering alternatives? What else might have happened? The good news is we get to choose. We can decide where to focus and what to notice. We decide whether it's lucky or unlucky, or just accept what is. We can practice the grateful point of view, saying thanks in all things. Thanks for the good stuff. Thanks that it wasn't worse. Thanks in advance that it will be okay. And thanks for the growth, the love, and the learning. I believe the universe is biased in our favor. That's my definition of grace. That things do work out, that life on the planet is mostly good. Time does heal. Bodies heal. Broken hearts heal. Most people land on their feet or at least get back up. When we've been in a really bad place and we get to a good place again, that's grace. When we notice, we can breathe again. When we hear ourselves laugh again. So this is also from Anne Lamott. She says, for us to acknowledge that we've been set free from toxic dependency, from crippling obsession or guilt, that we've been graced with the ability, finally, to forgive someone, is just plain astonishing. You can't have gotten from where you were, gripped by anxiety, tiny with fear, to come through to freedom, for God's sake, to have been so lost you felt abducted, to feeling found, returned, and set back onto your feet. Oh my God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Let's take these thoughts into meditation.
Big deep breath. Keep breathing into that place you know you can open up to, that place you know you can open up from, simply by changing your mind. Deep breath in. Let it out completely. What I know is that there is a power in the universe for good. And it is here for us to use. And I know that that power moves in and through us as us. In the most wonderfully unique ways. and that inherent power also bestowed upon us the power of choice. Our thoughts and our feelings and our actions create our belief system. But we are not our beliefs, we are the believers. And believing is choice. What I know is that we are inspired. That inspiration is that wonderfully divine, indescribable guidance. We have our own personal North Star. Constant. And simply looking at that idea, I am filled with gratitude. It reminds me that there is something I can always count on. I know that to be a spiritual truth, and I know that truth for and about you, and for everyone in this community, everyone on this planet, everyone in the universe. There is a power for good in this universe that we can use. And I am so grateful to know that. It's where we can deposit all of our questions. And we can withdraw the answers. And I am so grateful. So in this gratitude, knowing that I have aligned once again my thoughts, my heart, with that guidance system, with that power. Knowing that alignment puts into motion that which I have held in mind, and all of those things that we have held in mind. The law, the spiritual principle, that power can only do what we tell it because it always says yes. So choose your focus. I'm so glad we have that focus. I let it go, I let it be. With so much gratitude. Join me in that gratitude and just let it go with a big breath.